This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week by Pastor Gene Amoson. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
Let me start off with a question. Have you ever had a little situation happen in your life that just totally burnt you up and you had a hard time getting over it? Anybody else, right? Can we get real? I'm going to tell you a silly example for you this morning. Regina and I, for the last 15 years, have had our favorite Chinese place. Y'all can tell this is going to be real spiritual. My aunt told us about it years ago. We love this place. We love this place. We walked in probably in November, and we could tell something was different. First of all, it was warm in there, and it's never warm in there. Then we could see that the person behind the register was different. The person that came to take our order was different, and we're like, what's going on here? But we ordered our usual, right? I mean, we don't even need a menu. We just order our usual, and it came out, and it was obviously not the same food, and we were like, this is terrible. And so we left, and we find out that it changed ownership, right? So the people that they sold it, and somebody else bought it, and it's just not been the same. And we were just heartbroken, right? Because we've been going to this place forever. And now we just have to settle for Panda Express. But anyway, so the other night we're eating at the dinner table. And Cash just said this. He said, maybe we should give them another chance. And I said, you shut your mouth up right now, son. I said, that place is dead to the Amoson family. That's a dumb example. But, you know, we kind of got burned up about our Chinese place going away. But what about you? Have you ever had a situation that just burnt you up, somebody who just burnt you up, and you've had a hard time getting over it? Anybody? Y'all, we're in our First Things First series. And what we've been talking about in this series is getting things in order in our lives. And we've said from the beginning, the Lord has to be the foundation of everything, right? He's got to be the foundation of everything. And what we're doing today is we're talking about something that's foundational to our faith. Now, I want to get real with you. Whenever I kind of mapped out this series months ago, I had my topics that I was going to talk about each week, and today was not part of that. I started working on the topic that I had scheduled, and Monday, it wasn't working out. Tuesday, it wasn't working out. Wednesday, it wasn't working out. And Regina could tell I was kind of stressed. I'm like, this is just not coming together. You ever tried to make something happen and it just wasn't happening, right? And so finally, I just felt like the Holy Spirit just dropped something into me, and then it just came together in a hurry. So that makes me feel like somebody's here and needs to hear what we're talking about today. Amen? And so I said it's foundational to our faith. Y'all, today we're talking about the subject of forgiveness. That's a hard one, right? That is a hard one. Y'all, our Christian faith is built on Jesus giving his life for us and forgiving us of our sins. And how many of you are so grateful that he's forgiven us? Amen? And so we've got to forgive because he's forgiven us. But I don't know about you, it's not always that easy for me. Come on, somebody, can we get real today? It's not always that easy for me. Every one of us have been hurt at some point in our life, of course. Maybe you lived through something traumatic. Maybe a parent or a sibling or some others have said some words that have cut you so deeply, maybe in the past. I don't know what your story is. Maybe you were betrayed by someone who you trusted, who you loved. You know, whenever you've been hurt, again, it's so hard to forgive. And if you're at that place today, I want you to pay attention because I feel like the Lord has you here for today. Amen? And so this message is for you. I know the topic can be hard for some folks because some of what y'all have gone through, I know has been very hard past experiences. But here's a reality I want you to understand today. Either you are an overcomer or you're overcome. Okay? It's one or the other. I mean, because of what Jesus did on Calvary for us, we're able to overcome, right, these battles that we deal with. And he didn't die on the cross just to give us the ability to cope, but to be able to conquer. Come on, somebody. And to be able to conquer unforgiveness, that's one of the things that we're able to do because of the finished work of Jesus, right? And so every enemy, every struggle that we deal with in our lives, we can conquer. And one of those is truly unforgiveness. Whenever you go to Philippians 4, Paul said this. He says, I can do all things. Come on, somebody say all things. All things through Christ. right, through Christ. So we can forgive. We have the ability to do it because of what Jesus did for us. It may not always be easy, but we have the ability to do it. Now, we can be hurt in a number of ways by a number of people. We can be hurt by friends, by an ex. We can be hurt by family. We can be hurt by our kids at times. Have your kids ever just said something that just made you put your lips out and it just kind of hurt you, right? We can be hurt even by strangers. And whether it's them being rude or using harsh language, maybe it's disobedience from your kids, physical abuse, verbal abuse. There's a number of ways that we can be hurt, a number of different folks who can hurt us. But no matter what your story is, I want to say again, the Lord has given each one of us the ability to be able to forgive. Every one of us, we're able to. And so today, what I want to do is look at a few truths about unforgiveness. And we're going to hop into the first one, and it's pretty strong. It's that unforgiveness is a trap that holds us in bondage. Now, we all have heard the word offended, right? You've heard somebody say they were offended. We hear this word all the time. An offense is obviously something that causes some kind of hurt. But whenever you take the word offense, and if you take it to the Greek, and you look at the Greek word for it, it's a word called skandalon. That's how you pronounce it, skandalon. And you may say, okay, Pastor Gene, what is that? Whenever you look at the word skandalon, what it is it's the part of an animal trap that actually has the bait hanging on it. Okay? So let's think about this. It's in the middle of the trap, and whenever an animal goes in to get the bait that's hanging there, instantly they're in bondage. They're trapped. I think that's pretty interesting, right? An offense traps you. And a lot of people, you know, always are looking for a reason to be offended. There are those types of people, but we all need to remember that we can choose to not be offended. We can choose to not be offended. I mean, as believers, we need to refuse to be offended. One of our elders here at the church, that's one of his sayings that he uses all the time. We need to refuse to be offended. In Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says this, it says, guard your heart above all else. You see that? Guard your heart. The second half of this verse is very, very strong, for it determines the course of your life. It determines the course of your life. If we're not careful, what can happen is we can be offended, and our heart can just be full of all the results of the offense. Results such as unforgiveness, such as bitterness, such as envy, such as jealousy. Those are all just the effects of offense. And what that does is it causes the words that come out of our mouth, it causes our actions to all then be polluted because of what's going on in here. Because we picked up that offense. Does that make sense? Offended people act differently, don't they? They act differently. People who are super offended, you often don't just see the love of Jesus just flowing out of them, right? I mean, it changes who they are. And I just want to say this, if you're offended, it's not necessarily somebody else's fault. Oh, come on, don't shout me down on that one. It's not necessarily somebody else's fault because, you see, you are the one who decided to pick that offense up. Every day we have tons of opportunities to be offended. And it's up to us whether or not we're going to pick those babies up and put them in our pocket and walk around with them in life, or whether we're just going to deflect them, right? It's up to us. But living that way, I mean, being one of these people and living in a way to where you're so easily offended, that is no way we want to live. It's got to be miserable, right? But the enemy's going to tell you that you're justified in being offended. I mean, he's going to say, poor you. Poor you. Look at what they have done to you. He's going to tell you, you are justified in not forgiving them. I mean, what they did was just so bad to you. He's going to tell you, you're a victim. It's okay for you to be upset. It's okay for you to be offended. You see, that's the scheme of the enemy. That's what he's wanting you to do, is to just hold on to that offense. Why? Because it changes how you act. It changes your words. It changes your actions. It changes your testimony, somebody, right? In Philippians 3:13, Paul talks about forgetting the past, right? He says, I've got to leave that behind, and I've got to focus on what's ahead of me. Hear me today. If you are constantly focused on the past hurt, the past offense that you've been dealing with, I want you to understand it is ultimately going to stunt your spiritual growth. It's really going to just kind of, you know, put the brakes on your spiritual growth. And I want you to also understand this, that you will never, ever fulfill the purpose that God has for your life whenever you're constantly being offended. Because here's the thing, again, the results of the offense, it clogs up your heart. It makes it all nasty in here, right? And remember just a minute ago, whenever we were reading in Proverbs 4:23, it says, guard your heart above all else because it determines the course of your life. And so whenever we're constantly just, you know, we've got these offenses in our life and our heart's just dirtied up from all that stuff, I want you to understand our heart's not right. We're never going to be able to walk in His plan for our life. Again, it determines the course of our life. And so what we have to do is we have to let the Lord in. We got to ask Him to clean all this mess out right here. Come on, somebody. Like just clean all this junk that's just gotten our heart. And through Jesus, again, we can walk in freedom. Amen. We can walk in freedom. Now, let me give you the truth. The blood of Jesus will not give you amnesia. You're not necessarily going to forget what took place. But here's what I do want you to understand, though. It does give you a life beyond the past. The blood of Jesus gives you a life beyond the past. And truthfully, you've just got to make a decision that I am going to forgive and get past this. Nobody else can do it but you. Nobody can do it for you. You've got to make that decision that you want to be able to get out of that trap and move forward, because if you don't, you're going to deal with it the rest of your life. And I want to just tell you today, that's no way that you want to live. You don't want to live that way. Amen. So number one, unforgiveness is a trap. Number two, unforgiveness blocks our ability to receive God's forgiveness. Blocks our ability to receive God's forgiveness. It prevents God from forgiving us, and it will block our prayers as well. There's a lot of scripture about unforgiveness, and we're going to look at some of it this morning. Jesus is very clear, for instance, in Matthew 6:14, where He says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Okay? That's a promise right there. He will forgive you if you forgive others. "But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." I don't know about you, but I remember the first time I read that, I had a little bit of an oh crud moment. Like, rut-row, you know, I mean, I better start forgiving people, right? If we were to back up a couple of verses, this is towards the end of the Lord's Prayer where Jesus is giving the disciples like an outline of how they should pray. You'll recognize these words here. The King James Version says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." That all sounds familiar to you, right, from the Lord's Prayer. I love this. Look in the NLT version. It says, "And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us." So we have to be actively forgiving others whenever we're asking the Lord for His forgiveness. Does that make sense? We have to be forgiving other people. We can't be asking for His forgiveness yet holding out and not forgiving other people. And Scripture shows that this isn't just a suggestion. In Scripture, the Lord is not saying, you know, this is something I would like you to do. Whenever you look in Scripture, we'll see that this is an absolute requirement. I mean, if God extends His grace and mercy to us, and let's just be honest, some of us are still pretty messed up even after coming to know the Lord. Amen? I mean, we've got our failures and our flaws and stuff. If He has extended us so much grace and mercy, how much more do we need to extend it to others? Amen? We need to extend it to others. I love the verse Mark 11:24. I mean, whenever you look at this verse, this is the kind of verse that'll make you say hallelujah and shout just a little bit, right? Yeah. I mean, it says this. It says, "Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Does anybody else like that verse right there? Yeah. Come on, somebody. I mean, that's a good verse right there. And so Jesus speaks this, right? And you've got a bunch of people who are listening to Him whenever He's speaking this, and you can imagine they're thinking, I like that right there. And that would have been a good place to just like end the sermon. But then He kept talking. Here's what he said in verse 25. Check this out. So just after he got them all like hyped up, then he says this: and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Oh, okay. Here's some truth for you. We can cry out to God for our healing. We can cry out to God for our financial breakthrough that we need. We can cry out to God about restoration and relationship. But if we refuse to forgive others, I want you to understand we are going completely against the Word of God. Oh, y'all, that was better than that. Come on, we're going against the Word of God whenever we're not forgiving others. Here's what we've got to understand. It's obedience. Somebody say obedience. It's obedience to the Word of God that brings blessing and brings breakthrough in our lives. It's obedience. On a regular basis, people will reach out to me and they'll say, hey, I need you to pray with me about this. You know, and it could be something like maybe their marriage isn't going very well. And so Regina and I, we might meet with them and we might say, okay, well, based on the Word of God, are you doing what the Word says in Ephesians as to how you're treating your husband or your wife, right? Well, no. Okay, then I bet it's not going well, right? Because you're not being obedient to the Word of God, amen, right? Or maybe somebody's kids, they're not doing well and they're just, you know, going crazy. Well, are you doing what the Word of God says as to how you're supposed to raise your children and how you're supposed to discipline your children, right? Because the Word's very clear about this. Well, no. Okay, but see, it doesn't add up, right? You've got to be obedient to get the blessing and the breakthrough. How many of y'all bless your children whenever they're on purpose disobedient? Me either. Me either. Let's do another one. Financial breakthrough. You need a financial breakthrough. Well, are you going to the Word and doing what the Word of God says with your finances? So are you giving that first tenth to God, which he then says will rebuke the devourer in your life? Because some of you, there's not enough money at the end of the month, right? And you just can't figure out where it's going. That's a devourer in your life. What the Lord's going to do is he's going to fill that hole that's in your bucket because somewhere there's a leak, right? And he's going to rebuke the devourer. But again, it requires obedience to see blessing and breakthrough in your life. So if we're needing blessing and breakthrough in our life, then we've got to be obedient to forgive as well. Right? We got to be obedient to forgive as well. In 2 Corinthians 2, Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, and he's talking to them about how they've got to forgive somebody. Whenever you look in Scripture, the person that most people feel like he's talking about here had done a pretty heavy-duty sin. We'll just say that. It was something serious. And over time, the fellow did repent. But the church apparently was having a little bit of struggle of allowing him back in and forgiving him. And Paul says this in verse 10 of 2 Corinthians 2. He says, when you forgive this man, I forgive him too. And when I forgive whatever needs to be forgiven, I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit so that Satan will not outsmart us. That's powerful. For we are familiar with his schemes. Now the church, again, they were struggling to forgive this guy. And Paul was saying, listen, guys, there can't be unforgiveness in the house. There just can't be, because it's starting to affect the church. And Paul's saying, y'all need to forgive him before it like negatively keeps on affecting the church. I want you to know, Satan loves to get us off track individually by trying to keep us all offended and everything, but he also wants to get churches off track as well. Listen, division in churches happens. Y'all have probably been in churches where that kind of stuff has happened before, right? I mean, whenever you've got somebody over here and somebody over here, and they're just not getting along and they're kind of having it out, I want you to understand, it doesn't just affect two individuals in the room. That spills over into the rest of the church. And so as a result, they're seeing it affect their lives, but then we're seeing it affect the entire church, and it's making us as a church less effective. Once again, Paul said, we don't want the enemy to outsmart us, right? Because we're familiar with his schemes. Church, I want you to hear me today. If there was ever a situation between you and another church member, you need to deal with it because it's not just affecting you. We don't need to fall for the schemes of the enemy. We don't need to let him outsmart us, right? That's what he's trying to do. He wants to make this church less effective. Listen, whenever great things are happening in churches, whenever they're making a difference in the community, you think Satan's not kind of ticked off about it, right? I mean, he wants to get in the middle of this and see what he can do to get a church off track. And it makes the church less effective. Number three, forgiveness sets us free. It sets us free. Forgiveness isn't for them, it's for you. It's for you. It releases you from that trap. Jesus had numerous occasions whenever he could have been offended, whenever he could have held on to unforgiveness. I mean, let's just think about it. It's in, I believe, Mark 3, whenever his own family said, he's lost his mind. Like, they said that about Jesus. That hurt my feelings. Anybody else, right? Then you can look at what the Pharisees did to him. I mean, like, day after day, they were just trying to trip him up. We know that ultimately they wanted him dead, right? I mean, that probably would make me a little angry with them, right? I might be a little offended from what the Pharisees were doing. We can think about Peter. Peter, one of the inner circle, Peter, James, and John, the closest three. You've got Peter, kind of the self-proclaimed spokesperson of the group. But Peter tells him the night before he's crucified, he says, I will never leave you. I will never deny you. I will die for you. Peter had not even gone to bed yet and denied Jesus three times. I mean, Jesus had some opportunity to be offended, did he not? He had some opportunity to hold some unforgiveness. But if he refused to be offended, if he didn't hold on to unforgiveness, don't y'all think we need to act the same way since he's our example, right? Don't we need to act the same way? Again, it's our decision if we choose to be offended. And every one of us has control over it. We have control over it. Here's something important that I want you to get today. Forgiveness helps you more than it helps the other person. It helps you more than it helps the other person. You know, there are times whenever people know you're upset with them, but a lot of times people have no idea that you're upset with them. I've had somebody come up to me before and they're like, well, Pastor Gene, I just want you to know you said something that I didn't really appreciate. I'm like, wait, what? Here's what I want you to understand. A lot of folks, they have no idea that they ever offended you, and you've been holding on to all this unforgiveness or this offense or whatever. It has not affected them whatsoever. And so whenever you forgive, it frees you of that. It frees you of that. Whether the person did it intentionally or not, forgiving them frees you. And we don't need to get caught holding on to offense. We need to be quick. Somebody say quick. We need to be quick to forgive. Just quick to forgive. Don't wait until you feel like it. Here's the truth. You will never forgive if you wait till you feel like it. It's never going to happen, because here's the truth. Satan's going to keep stirring that up on the inside of you. And don't say you need to pray about whether or not you're going to forgive somebody. That's the dumbest thing you could ever say. Let me go ahead and pray about it. But at the same time, I want you to know this. Whenever you forgive somebody, you need to forget about it as well. Amen. Like, it's a thing of the past. Yes. You don't need to bring it up all the time. Part of your testimony doesn't need to be telling somebody how so-and-so offended you, but you were so godly that you forgave them. Right? You don't need to do that. Right. Forgive and just be done with it. Amen? Amen? Just be done with it. So many times, people, they just hold unforgiveness, and whenever you do that, it's not affecting the other person at all. It's like that example, y'all have probably heard it. It's like drinking poison and thinking that it's going to hurt them, but no, you're just hurting yourself. That's what it's doing. And choose to obey God, resist the devil and his attempts to keep you offended, his attempts to just poison you with bitter thoughts. And whenever you forgive them, then what it allows is it allows God to come in and start the healing process in you. But again, whenever you forgive, we don't talk about it any longer. It's over with. Amen? It's over with. In Matthew 18, Jesus told this parable about a master who had a servant. who owed him so much. It was like just this massive amount that there's no way the servant could have ever paid it. And so he calls the guy in, and it's just like, well, this is what you owe. And the guy just begs for mercy, and the master gives him mercy. He's like, you know what? Your debt's forgiven. Done with. That same servant leaves, and shortly thereafter, there's a fellow servant who owes him just a little bit. But that fellow servant doesn't have the money to pay, and so the guy who was just forgiven all his debt, he orders that this guy be thrown in jail because he can't pay his debt. Jesus says this in Matthew 18, starting in verse 32. He says, then the master called the servant in. So this is the guy that did the forgiving. He called the servant in. He said, you wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? Verse 34, in anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Y'all, I want you to understand today and just remind you that we have all been forgiven an absolute fortune. An absolute fortune. Y'all, Jesus was nailed to a cross because of our sin. Because of our sin. It's what he did for us. He got on that cross for us. And if he was willing to, again, do that for us, if he was willing to forgive us, then we have to forgive others. We're able to forgive others, and so we have to offer them that same forgiveness that he gives us every day. Maybe you're here today and you're holding on to offense. Maybe you're here today and you're holding on to unforgiveness. And you probably know that it's had a negative effect on you. You probably know that it's not been healthy for you. You probably know that it's trapped you. As your pastor today, I want to say this. In obedience to the word of God, you need to forgive today. Today. Not to wait until you feel like it, not to pray about it, but to forgive today. Remember, we talked about just a moment ago, the results of offense, it just dirties up your heart. It's time to let that go so the Lord can come in here and just clean it all out. Come on, somebody. So that you can be freed from that trap that it's had you in. You need to let go of it today. Now, I want to say this to you. I know that some of you are here, and while I've been saying you need to forgive, you're saying, but Pastor Gene, you don't know what I've gone through. You're saying you don't know what I've experienced. You don't know the hurt, the pain, the betrayal. You don't know what I'm dealing with. I just can't forgive. Truth is, you're probably right. I don't know. Regina and I have had a number of meetings with people before, and they've shared what they've walked through, and there have been times where my jaw just like hit the table, like, wow, just mind blown. I mean, there are some stories that have blown our minds at times. So I may not understand what you've walked through. I want to share a couple things with you, though. By forgiving that person or persons, you are not putting a seal of approval on what they did to you. You are not saying what they did to you was okay. That's not it at all. What you are doing is you're forgiving them so you can be freed of that trap, so that you can move forward in God's plan for your life, so that your prayers won't be blocked, so that you can receive his forgiveness. But you're giving that situation to God and let him deal with it. Let him deal with that situation. But another thing that you're doing is that you're giving yourself the opportunity for healing to start to take place in your life. Because I know some of you feel like your heart has just been shattered because of what's happened to you. that's you, the Lord has seen every tear that you've shed about that situation. I want to share with you, even whenever maybe that situation was taking place, He never left you. We have this beautiful promise that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He was with you on your greatest day, the best day of your life, and He was with you on your worst day of your life. And what He wants to do is to take all the pieces of your heart that have just been shattered, and He wants to put them together again, and He wants to see restoration in your life. Some of you, He's ready to see you smile again. You feel like you've not been able to truly smile in a long time. He's ready to see you be happy again, to have joy again. It's His desire, but I want you to understand the first step is saying, I forgive them. I forgive them. And I want you to understand, I'm not asking you to call them. I'm not asking you to meet face to face with them. Based on situations, you probably don't need to. But between you and God, Father, you've forgiven me. And Lord, today, I am forgiving them. You need to have that moment with the Lord and truly try to move forward in Him and let Him begin to heal you. Maybe you're here today and you need to forgive yourself. You've been carrying around some guilt, some shame for something that you did. I want you to understand you need to receive God's forgiveness and truly forgive yourself today. The blood of Jesus covers it all. Covers it all. Amen. If you will today, just bow your heads, close your eyes. Let's just have a minute with the Lord. Holy Spirit, just reveal to us today, Lord, any persons that we need to forgive. Today, I'm sure that while I was teaching, you maybe had some names run through your mind, maybe some situations in your mind that you know that you need to forgive somebody. Once again, you need to do that today. You need to let the Lord in, let Him work on your heart. You need to repent of that unforgiveness today so that He can deal with that situation and so that you can move forward in Him. So today, I just want to encourage you, if you've got that person's name just on your mind, I want to just encourage you to just quietly say today, Lord, you've forgiven me. And Lord, now I forgive, and then just say their name. Come on, just have a moment with the Lord. Lord, you've forgiven me. Father, and now I forgive them. Father, we thank you that you've been so good to forgive us. Jesus, we thank you that you gave your life because we had a sin problem. And Lord, we want to be obedient to Scripture. Father, we want to forgive others. It's what we're supposed to do. Lord, we want to get rid of any of this nastiness in our heart, Father. We know it's changed us. It's changed the way we respond to people. It's changed our actions. Lord, we want to be set free of it today. And so, Father, I just speak over everyone here today that Holy Spirit, you just move in their life. And Lord, freedom comes in Jesus' name, that they truly forgive today. Lord, and they just move past that. But Lord, just like Paul said, it's a thing of the past, and I'm not looking back to the past. I'm focused on what God has ahead for me. That, Lord, we do that today. Father, we're determined to guard our hearts. Lord, because we know unforgiveness, we know offense, it affects our future. And so, Father, we say once again, thank you. Thank you for forgiving us.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week with Pastor Gene Amoson. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.